bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddler Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. This is episode 408, to be broadcast Wednesday. Oh boy, where are we here? August 14th, 2024.
Today's August 12th.
Amazing. Welcome to Bicycle Talk without my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Brand Storch.
Wait a minute.
Why are you without? Because I typed in without instead of with.
Last week.
Isn't that terrible? It was last week.
Yeah.
Right. With my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you are watching on Facebook Live, please feel free to comment. We should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can just drop us an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Or you can just comment down below. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Okay, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Amazon liable for hazardous product it sells. When was the last time you bought a bicycle-related item on Amazon? Yeah, Consumer Product Safety Commission, which has found that Amazon should be considered a distributor of the products it sells, is therefore responsible for the safety of the products. This came through Bicycle Retail and Industry News, as there are multiple people that have purchased bicycle-related items on Amazon and have been injured. And the question is the manufacturer of the product liable, or is Amazon liable? Well, if you go to a bike shop, the bike shop has a responsibility to it. So this is where the lawsuit came from. This is where the action came from. And guess what, Amazon? You're now a bike shop. If you want to play the game, you're going to be in trouble with it. And that's the way it's going to work. So anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. If we have time, I'll discuss it a little bit more later in the show. And honey, she shrunk herself. You know, like, hey, honey, I shrunk the kids. congestion pricing issues are wearing hard on Governor Hochul of New York. Yeah, you know what? It's just getting worse. It's going from bad to worse. We're going to talk a little more about congestion pricing a little bit later in the show, because there are cities that this is working in, and I just want to keep bringing this up until somebody in New York gets a clue. Anyway, but of course, this and more in the show. On a positive side, the Olympics are over. It's so sad. But this American woman is still kicking butt. Yeah, another American woman medalist. Jennifer Valente on the track. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. And this weekend is the 33rd annual Steeplechase Bike Tour. A ride which is near and dear to my heart. I am on the committee. I am the guy who puts together all the routes. We've got some exciting new news this year. I'm going to get to that in just a little bit, and we will talk more about that in the show today. The Vuelta is about to begin. The Vuelta España. Yay! The last of the big three. As you know, there are three major Grand Tours that happen in the bicycle racing world. The Giro, followed by the Tour de France, which most people know about now, unless you live under a rock, and the Vuelta a España, which a lot of people don't know about. But that's, you know, for those of us who are bike geeks and nuts, we love the Vuelta, we love bike racing, so that's what it is. But the Vuelta is about to begin, so that should be very, very interesting. Let's see. What else do I have here? Mechanical Minute and Ron's Tip of the Week. Look at your bike now. Today, now. If you're riding in this weekend's bike tour, please. Now. Please. Yeah, we see this often. where people will show up to an event thinking that, well, you know, I rode this last year and my bike was fine last year. And then they show up to the event with the bike that they rode last year that they haven't looked at since last year. Don't do that. Don't be that person. Please don't be that person. Check your bike over. Get your bike checked over. Stop by the local bike shop. They're going to hate you for coming in and saying, hey, I got a ride on Saturday and I need to get my bike fixed. Don't ask for a full tune-up. At least have them just check it over at a safety check or something like that. But don't drive them nuts, please. Plus, there's something else that happens in the bicycle industry this time of year, and it's called August. And August is that time that the bike shop has been dealing with all of, not your problems, but everyone else's problems all year, all summer long. And they're really, really tired. And so their patience may be a little thinner than it would have been if you just brought it in the spring and gotten it taken care of when they had plenty of energy. So anyway, just a word of warning out there as far as that goes. So I'm going to go and I'm going to start directly with the Steeplechase Bike Tour because it is something that is near and dear to my heart and has been going on for 33 years. It's a pretty big deal. It is this Saturday, August 17th in Willimantic, Connecticut, and it is on Bike Reg. If you want to sign up, you can sign up there. And there are road rides that include a 20-mile road ride, a 35-mile road ride, a 62-mile road ride, and a 5-mile fundraising walk. If you're so inclined to walk and you want to raise money for a good cause, you can do that. You can even get about halfway into the 5-mile walk, and you can take a detour and work your way back if you're too exhausted or too hot or whatever and you don't want to complete the whole thing. And then on top of that, we had introduced a few years ago an 18-mile gravel ride, but there also is an additional 40-mile gravel ride for the gravel people out there. And gravel is a big deal right now because gravel gives you the luxury of being able to ride on roads, some roads that are actual dirt roads, and then also trails that don't have cars. Nice, huh? Very nice. So even the 40-mile gravel route that we have for the ride this weekend is going to be 90% dirt road and trail. So nice to know, and we will talk a little more about that because I've got that up here. But somehow something is in my way here. We'll go here. So the Steeplechase, it's a charity fundraiser for Wyndham, Connecticut, and it brings together cyclists from all over New England and beyond for over the last 25 years. Yeah, 33 years to be exact. So we have nonprofits involved in this. This is a very, very local oriented ride. So the money stays here, which is really nice. We don't work with a national nonprofit organization that has lots of fees to go along with it. We're all the money comes right back to our community. So we do appreciate it if you're from outside of our community and you want to come in and you want to help us out. You can even help us out without even doing the ride if you want. If you go to that Bike Reg page, there's a Pledge Reg page there too, and you can actually help out there too if you wish. But anyway, the four organizations, the one which has been longstanding is the Wyndham Area Interfaith Ministries. And that is a collection of a lot of the faith-oriented population in our area, so the different churches that are involved. And they help out people when they are in need, so we can always use help there. They even have a downtown Willimantic place where people drop off goods and all that. And there's also another really cool thing that's going on too. If you are coming to the Steeplechase this weekend and you actually hear this broadcast before you get there, if you have an old bike in the garage or in the barn or in the basement or wherever it may be that you go, you know, I really love that bike, but you know, I've got all these new bikes now and I really don't need that bike anymore. They're accepting donations, and what they're doing with them is two different things. One, they're always looking for more mechanics to help fix these up, but the other one is that they are giving them to people who are in need of transportation and don't have the funds of which to take care of it. So it's another function of the Willimantic or the Windham Area Interfaith Ministry, and it's a really cool thing. So if you got that old bike, bring it along. It'll be a good thing. Also, the Windham Region No Freeze Project, very, very important for the wintertime when we've got folks that are out on the streets, homeless, and need a place to warm up for the evening and get a good night's sleep. We have a no freeze shelter here in town too, which is cool. Click Incorporated, which is the Click Kitchen. It's basically a commercial kitchen that is open. You can apply to be there, and if you're someone who has like a small, you know, cottage industry, so to speak, you've been baking in your kitchen at home and now you've outgrown it and you need to get into a commercial situation which is certified by the health department and the state and all that, you can go to Click Kitchen. So Click Kitchen is another one of our recipients. They are a nonprofit. And Project Project Emo is this really cool youth-based nonprofit, which is, you know, getting youth involved in things, sort of like an Outward Bound kind of thing. So, you know, teaching kids how to, you know, survive in the wilderness and taking for hikes and doing different things. They have a mountain bike aspect to it now. They're working on a whole bunch of really cool projects, and Jay is just like, he's just really done an amazing job with this. So they are also recipients of this, and they are also a nonprofit. So we've got four nonprofits involved, and that's really, really cool. And this particular ride, which has been a very, very popular ride in our area for a number of years, is a way to give back to your community, which is always nice. And you know, I'm always pushing the give back to your community here anyway, because I think it's a good thing. So we've got a lot of stuff to share with you this weekend. We've got free food. We've got me. I will be the MC of the event, so you will probably see or hear me there at the early morning hours as we're getting people in through registration and all that. And then we've got three different SAG wagon vehicles that are going to be out there following along and taking care of people along the way. We have the most amazing Holy Cow Family Shelter, which many of the road rides go by. And if you took a detour off the dirt road ride, you could probably even stop by and see them, but it's going to cost you a couple of miles on the road to do it. But anyway, the Holy Cow Shelter's kind of a highlight. They're our neighbors right down the street, and they are it is definitely one of the rest stops with character, we'll call it that. I noticed that David was putting the tent up the other day, so the tent is already up. The bowling balls are well in place along the way. And I think, and Fran might be able to reinforce this, I think they do s'mores there too. Do they still do s'mores at the Holy Cow Shelter?
I will let you know.
Yeah, I think so. I think they got a little fire pit going out there and people are, you know, making their own little s'mores, and that's kind of a cool thing. It's really, it's a very interesting rest stop. Plus, there's some animals there, and they come to the edge of the fence, and you can pet them, and that's kind of fun, too. So anyway, the Holy Cow Shelter gets all, let's see, it gets the 20-mile ride goes through there, the 35-mile ride goes through there, and the...
And the metric.
And the metric, the 62-mile ride goes through there, too. They all go through there. So they all, it's kind of on the finishing leg of the Steeplechase Bike Tour, so it's a great highlight for the finish. It's really, really nice. And then you've got a few more miles to go before you finish up, but... Stopping by the Holy Cow is don't blow past that rest stop. That's not worth doing. You got to stop. It's well worth it. It's a lot of fun. So, and they will be out there and waiting for you, and that'll be kind of nice. It's definitely a cool thing. So this is the Steeplechase, and we've been doing this for a very, very long time, and we do appreciate everyone who has been involved with this over the years. We have different sponsors. We have pillar sponsors. We have angel sponsors and star sponsors and lots of people. You'll get a listing of that on the free t-shirt, which comes along with it. And I believe there's a free water bottle too from a local bike shop in the area. And so, you know, you can get some, bring home some nice things too, which is really super nice. So be sure to check us out. If you do come to it, you can share with us on social media. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. So you can go there too. We're going to have lots of pictures. People take lots of pictures. I think that our friend Milton is going to be there with his drones and aerial photography, which would be very, very cool. Hey, you could become famous, right? Come to the Steeplechase Bike Tour. It's a great thing. We'd love to see you. So, anyway, let's move on. What else do I have here on my list today to talk about? Okay. So, I have this little piece here about Amazon. And I just have to bring it up because so many people are not going to the local bike shops anymore, and they're buying things online, and then, you know, they're walking into the local bike shops and going, I'm lost, I can't figure this out. And fortunately, local bike shops are very patient with these folks, but I have to say, it's a bit of a test when you own a retail business and someone buys something from somewhere else and then comes back to have you take care of it. Not that they won't do it, but it is, you know, if you'd just gone to the bike shop first and talked to them, it would have been kind of nice. But anyway, so in a unanimous vote that should benefit legitimate bike suppliers, the Consumer Product Safety Commission ruled that Amazon is a distributor and bears responsibility for products sold by third-party sellers that are defective or fail to meet federal safety standards, and they have a legal responsibility for their recall. So the CPSC issued the decision and order against Amazon, which more than 400,000 products are subject to the order. And the CPSC said specifically naming faulty carbon monoxide detectors and hair dryers without electrocution protection and children's sleepwear that violates federal flammability standards. Now, what does this have to do with bicycles? Well, there's bicycles involved in there too. You know, there's definitely a lot of bicycles that are coming in. We see them directly coming in from China, and you know, it's buyer beware, folks. It's just buyer beware. That's all I can tell you. If you're buying something that is coming from a non, I don't know how to put this, but someone who's not like your local bike shop. Let's say you're buying something like an e-bike. This is a classic one right here. And you're buying it from a manufacturer that's overseas, and they're selling directly through Amazon, and they have not been compliant with the safety standards, you could burn your house down. Yeah, it's all true. You know, things that are recharged have a problem sometimes with the charger and or the battery that it comes with. You know, there are things that you do have to be very, very careful about. So don't be that person that burns your house down with an e-bike that you bought real cheap on Amazon. Please don't do that. You want to make sure you can get, you know, quality product that's been out for a while, that has, you know, good feedback on it, that sort of thing. But if you want to really be sure about that, then you want to you want to talk to your local bike shop. So the company, the allegedly, you know, companies distribute certain products that pose a substantial product hazard. So this is where this whole decision and order came in. And the reason I do bring it up again is because bicycles are on that list. So you do have to be very cautious, buyer beware, about what you're buying when you're buying things online. Your local and trusted bike dealer will be selling you a product that they can stand behind, because they require to, you know, they need insurance and they have liability issues too. And so they're going to sell you a product that meets their standards, which is extremely important. So anyway, that's what that is all about. And, you know, shame on Amazon for trying to avoid that for a long time. And now they don't. So that's all gone. So let's see, what else do I have here? The other thing I wanted to address, and we'll get to the Olympics shortly, you know, because there still is one last little Olympic story that we have to tell. But we'll get to that in a little bit. I wanted to talk a little bit more about congestion pricing today. So congestion pricing is this big battle that's been going on in New York, and I've been talking about it weekly. And the governor of New York, they were all set to put the congestion pricing in place in New York City. And the governor decided that she thought it would be a very bad idea because of all the people that are that do not have a lot of money, that are doing, let's say, manual labor and that sort of thing, and other various things like vending food, etc. And she basically blocked it from happening because of that. So here's how it works. So congestion pricing is designed because our cities are getting too busy. They're getting too clogged with, yes, you guessed it, automobiles. That's what this is all about, cars and trucks. So because so many people are using their cars and trucks to get into the cities and congesting everything up and making it really hard to get around, not to mention taking up all the parking, etc., all that, it's become a pollution problem, it's become a congestion problem, and it's a huge health problem too because of that. So if you look at several cities in Europe have implemented congestion pricing in their central business districts to combat traffic congestion and air pollution, including London, Stockholm, Malta, Rome, and Milan. So they've gone there. They're dropping down the numbers of people that are coming into the cities as far as the traffic goes. They're increasing the number of people that are enjoying the cities as far as pollution, air pollution, and all that, and the noise and everything else comes along with a motorized vehicle. So this is all a good thing. And the more big cities that establish this and then see the end result, the more you're going to, you're going to read more and more about this. This is a good thing. It's a really, really good thing. And yes, it's an inconvenience at first. There are ways of resolving the inconvenience. If there is a concern that workers that are coming into the city to do work in these central business, the really busiest areas of the city, in New York it would be Manhattan, then beef up the transportation system so that they can get to work without any problem. That's a simple solution. Or, as I have said in previous episodes of Bicycle Talk, give them a voucher so they can take the transportation system in for free and let them do that. And if it's really difficult, like let's say it's a commercial operation that is like a plumber or a carpenter or an electrician, and they need their vehicles for service work, then figure out a way to give them a special use license that allows them to come in and do what they need to do because they really need their vehicle to get the jobs done. There's things you can do. There are ways around this, but the congestion in the cities is getting worse. The pollution in the cities is getting worse. And there are other cities around that are actually figuring this out. And there's something called the Sustainable Cities Collective. And it was a relaunch of Smart Cities Dive into back in early 2017. So there's just a lot of ways of making this smarter and more convenient. There's a site called Smart Growth America, which is kind of interesting. It empowers communities through technical assistance, advocacy, and leadership to create livable spaces, healthy people, and shared prosperity. So they work with elected officials at all levels, they are real estate developers, chambers of commerce, transportation, urban planning professionals, and residents to improve everyday life for people across the country through better development. So that's a cool thing. And it's really, the whole idea here is to make it better for us all within the cities. And the problem that we have, the number one problem that we have in this country as far as congestion goes and as far as pollution goes is cars and trucks. How can you eliminate that? You can't eliminate it. You'll never be able to eliminate it. It's not going to go away, but you can reduce it, and you can reduce it by increasing the availability of good bike lanes and good pedestrian avenues so people can safely find themselves around an urban environment. And as I have stated before and many, many times, you take one parallel parking space, you put 12 bicycles into it. That's 12 people versus how many people can you get into that SUV? Well, you can get a lot of people in that SUV. How many people are really in that SUV? We know that. One. It's always one. If not, it may be two. It may be more, but it's not normally that many people. So you get 12 people in a parking space on bicycles. It takes up less space. It doesn't create any pollution on the way in. This is not rocket science. This is just simple urban planning. So I like to point that out because the bicycle is, as you've heard me say, the solution to all the problems in the world is all around the bicycle. The bicycle can really solve a ton of problems. You've got health and fitness taken care of. You've got congestion taken care of. You've got pollution taken care of. Mental health is taken care of by riding the bicycle, and that creates less aggression. Less aggression means that people will get along with one another better. I can go on forever on this, but ride a bike. It really could save your life. I think I say that at the end of the show, don't I? Yeah, it could. So that's what we are looking at with this congestion thing. Let's take a look here. This is five cities with congestion pricing. We're going to talk about this a little bit. It's starting to gain some inertia, and the reason is because the the end result is just so incredibly powerful. Singapore. Yeah. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any pictures of Singapore, but it's frightening, absolutely frightening. And they refer to it on this site as the godfather of congestion pricing systems. And it started with some numbered stickers placed on windshields of cars. The Area Licensing Scheme, otherwise known as the ALS, as it was called, and introduced in 1975, was as simple as you could get. Originally, cars with one or two people in them were charged, back in 1975, US $1 every time they crossed the line into Singapore's central business district during the peak morning period, with carpools of more than three people and trucks exempt for free. So the trucks were free. That's so, your workers. So violations were costly and vehicle impounding was not uncommon. And in a country with some of the highest auto import duties in the world, financially catastrophic. The sticker system is still in place, and violators are now caught using those astoundingly accurate license plate cameras. Yeah, the system is also among the easiest in the world to understand. You come to an inn at a certain hour, and you better have your paid license. No transponders or accounts to set up, just a sticker, a number, and hopefully not a camera. So that's Singapore. London, probably the best known congestion pricing system in the Western world. While more technically complex than Singapore's system, the London pricing system has a similar level of success reducing traffic for the central business district through an intricate series of cameras and transponders. The Ring of Steel, as they call it, as it is named, also plays a double role. The cameras are in place to catch traffic scofflaws as well as more sinister criminals, since they are part of London's expansive closed circuit television system. The program has become an archetype for other potential systems, especially in the United States, though London's girded structure differs differently from the typical grid structure in major American cities. A sort of great wall of pricing is the concept du mode for today's transportation economists, and we have London to thank for it. So here we go. Let's go to the U.S. San Diego, California. Of all places, San Diego. Southern California is probably not the first place you'd think of when you're discussing progressive transportation policy. Although I have been in San Diego a number of times, and I was very impressed, and this was a long time ago, at their bicycle infrastructure in San Diego. They were definitely on a leading edge there. San Diego has one thing that, everyone talks about, and other than the fact that it's way too crowded. But the one thing that everyone talks about with San Diego is, why'd you move to San Diego? Well, the number one reason, it's the weather. It's great weather. It's great weather to ride your bike. It's always nice there. I'm not going to say always. I think there's a month out of the year that it's not. Maybe, at most. But pretty much the weatherman in San Diego, or the weatherwoman in San Diego, is probably the most bored person on the television. Because it's usually the same thing the next day as it was the day before and the day before that. So it's perfect for riding your bike. So therefore, San Diego had set up a pretty nice network of systems of protected lanes, etc., to allow people to ride their bikes, because why not? It's always nice. So it makes a lot more sense to do that. So anyway, they have tweaked slightly their system to fit geographic idiosyncrasies of Southern California. Lots of cars, lots of highways, not a lot of density. It's not congestion cordon system like you see in London or Singapore, but rather a dichotomous highway tolling system where, if you're willing to pay, you can zoom by drivers without allowing the infinite gridlock by using an express lane that runs parallel to original highway. Okay, so we have those here and this on this side of the country too. These toll lanes have been called Lexus lanes by the activists who see them as just another way that efficiencies favor the rich and the poor have to deal with high traffic volume. Yeah, I guess I can understand that would be it. But people who need to get somewhere fast will get there, but there'll be $8, an $8 charge to them in order to do it. So San Diego's getting better, but I still don't see it as the ultimate perfect. It's not Amsterdam. It's not a Copenhagen. It's, you know, we still have a long way to go. We need to start paying attention to the folks over in Europe that figured it out, because our country is way, way behind as far as I'm concerned. But we have a strong lobby to keep people in cars in this country. So it's, you know, we're fighting not only against car manufacturers, but we're also fighting against the insurance industry. We're also fighting against the oil industry. And they're very, very strong lobbyists in this country. If I could just take a little bit of the funds from the oil industry and put them into infrastructure improvement, boy, that would be nice, wouldn't it? This is why infrastructure is so important. This is why I'm a big supporter of it. And I really think this is a direction that we need to be heading, because it does make a difference. Stockholm, Sweden, that's another one. Another one of the smart cities movement. And they have congestion pricing scheme to prove it. It's a cordon system like London is and Singapore, where drivers are charged a fee based on their entry into the downtown central business district. It's true Scandinavian fashion. They're used to a light hand for their system and include exemptions for vehicles like motorcycles and foreign registered vehicles, a smart move that promotes a travel for tourists. The congestion charge also disappears during the evenings and very early mornings, so revelers and night owls need not worry. So things can be adjusted. It's all good. So that's Sweden. Milan, Italy. Improved air quality is an implied goal for all of these congestion pricing systems. By discouraging driving, you're encouraging cleaner methods of getting where you're going. Milan has cut out the middleman and made improving air quality the state of its mission and its system, the EcoPass. The scheme, like nearly all others on the list, is designed to squeeze access to the central business district in Milan and in eminently obvious but never before applied way, drivers are charged based on how dirty their cars are. Love this! Hummers and Piaggios, I don't know what a Piaggio is, aren't going to be charged the same rate to enter downtown Milan because they're not doing the same damage to the environment. In fact, Piaggio Porter Electric wouldn't be charged anything to enter the central business district. So if you're electric, you don't get charged. If you're not electric, you get charged big. And so that's what Milan has done to take care of that. The novelty here is the simplicity of the aims. Milan wants cleaner air. City managers know that cars contribute to it in downtown, and traffic engineers can restrict their access by pulling a couple of economic levers. It's quick and dirty, and well, maybe not dirty, but most importantly, it gets the job done, and it's explicitly geared towards making life better for urban folks in Milan. Very, very nice. Honorable mentions. Oh my gosh, the list is long here. There's lots of people that are on the list. The you know, the Czech Republic has got things going on. California, obviously, not so much, but they need to work on it because they are kind of the motor capital. I'm not going to say that they're the motor capital of the United States because that's not where the cars are made. But boy, they have their end users. They have a lot of cars in California. And if you've ever sat on a freeway in traffic in California, you know what I'm talking about. I worked with a lot of companies when I was in the bicycle industry, which were based out of California, in various parts of California. And most of the people who worked for the companies tried their best to ride their bikes to work because they could actually get to work sometimes faster than they could drive their car because of the congestion. The congestion is just horrible. But the biggest problem was, and I ran into this with a couple of different companies that I worked for, is that there was no real good, safe way to get there. And if you wanted to get to work, you had to get on the freeway, and you really couldn't do that with a bicycle. I find it hard to believe that you couldn't find a way around the freeway, but they said that they had a hard time getting around the freeway, that it just, the infrastructure was not built correctly for it. So that can happen too. That all can happen, for sure. But anyway, we're getting more and more cities looking at this. And New York, you know, you're in the news, man. Everybody is watching you guys right now, and you need to pay attention to this because you're kind of you're kind of a spotlight here in the United States. And it's really busy and it's really crazy in downtown. And if you've ever ridden your bicycle in the Five Borough Tour in New York City where they shut it all down, that's just a glorious moment. I got to tell you, they shut down downtown New York for this tour. And it's not completely shut down, but it's definitely a horrible inconvenience that day because when you put 30,000 people on bicycles on the streets in New York, things change. So that's what we need to see more of, not just one day. We need to see it every day. So let's see, what else do I have here on my list of things to talk about here today? Let's bounce here a little bit. I'm going to bounce over to the Olympics because the last of the Olympics that I had not covered yet was track racing. So track racing is really interesting and really different, and I don't completely understand it all because you're indoors, you're going around and around. Well, mostly the tracks are indoors. Trexlertown is outdoors. We have a track in Pennsylvania, which is outdoors. And I think there's also one, Casino Velodrome in New York is also outdoors. But a lot of times they're indoors and they're on a wooden track and it's got a very steep bank on it. And they have different types of races. They've got pursuits, they've got Karens, they've got Omniums, and it's an entirely different style of bike racing. You'll recognize a track rider because their quads are three times the size of your waist. They tend to be big, sprinty people. And they are, you know, it's kind of the muscle beach of the bike racing crowd. That's what I like to call it. And so it's very, very interesting. And they have, some of the races are very, very long. Some of them are over with in one lap. It just really depends on what you're looking at. There's hardly any coverage on TV with it, unfortunately. So you have to kind of bounce around on YouTube a little bit, see if you can pick up a little clip here or a clip there on it. And that could help you out as far as that goes. So, you know, but anyway, Jennifer Valente, she made U.S. cycling history with her women's Omnium Gold. 80 laps around the track, 80 laps. So the way the Omnium works is there are 10 sprints in these 80 laps. There's 10 different sprints. And the one who gets the most, you get points for your sprints as far as what your place is, first, second, third, whatever it is. And the one with the most points at the end of the race wins the race. That's the way it works. So she rode away with it, and it was kind of a cool thing. And let me see here, where is she on my list? I know she's here somewhere. We're going to just click on her here. Hang on just a second here. So, I believe this was not her first time, if I remember this correctly, but she reigned supreme in the women's omnium, stamping her authority on track cycling's test of endurance and race strategy on Sunday, August 11th at the Paris Games. The six-time world champion, yeah, it wasn't her first rodeo, the six-time world champion successfully defended the gold medal she won in Tokyo in 2020, becoming the second female rider to win back-to-back gold medals in the Omnium at the Olympic Games after Great Britain's Laura Kenny. "It's been a really long week of racing," said Valente. "I raced Team Pursuit qualifying over a week ago. We had some really good performances, so to pull it off on the last day, I'm really excited." She was in dominant form, winning both the scratch race and the elimination race, and finishing runner-up in the tempo race to place her atop the point standings heading into the final point race. She says, "I definitely went into the points race looking for a couple of people that were trailing me and the points gap. It did drop a little bit once you get further down the start list of the points race. I was pretty happy to let some of the other people take points and just try to let the race evolve." So she rode confidently and strategically defensive points race, lapping the field to solidify her lead in the Omnium. She crossed the line with 144 points to her name, more than enough to defend her gold medal from Tokyo in 2020. So two-time Olympic champion on the track from the United States. Pretty cool. Different stuff. And track cycling, again, I don't understand it as much. I don't follow it as closely as I do the road cycling. Is my total, so road cycling and cyclocross are my two biggies. I just love those, but it's really interesting, and the crashes are ugly and spectacular also, just like they are on the road. I guess that's not a whole lot different, but when you crash in a track race and then slide all the way down the track, I can only imagine that hopefully that's a very well polished wooden track, because the splinters could be rough. But and I don't think that happens on a good quality track. But anyway, it's rather interesting. My friend Dave, who helps me with the cyclocross race, he's a big track rider. He loves going to the track and racing. He's quite good at it. He's a very good sprinter. So but he's also a really good cyclocross rider now too. So it's kind of fun. Kind of a different sort of thing. Very, very different disciplines though. Completely different disciplines. So anyway, that's it for Olympic type things. As far as the Olympics are pretty much over. I think the final night was last night, right? Closing ceremonies were last night, Fran.
Yes.
And
they were
so
being shown
that's
live
it.
At like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were showed again.
Right. So Harry Leverson, he completed a cycling trifecta by winning the men's Karen Gold. And so he won 3 gold medals in the Olympics, and not a U.S. rider. Anyway, the Karen is really a bizarre race. And they start out with a motorcycle going around the track for a few laps, and everybody sits on the back of the motorcycle. Then the motorcycle pulls off, then off they go. And it's a very long race again. There's weird stuff there. Maybe I'll have to do a little research on this and introduce you guys to track racing, because I don't understand it completely. But anyway, let's see. What else do we have here? We're getting close. So there's a few other things that I wanted to in the industry. Shimano bike-related sales are down 21% over year in the first half of the year. 21%. It's a pretty big drop. There's a lot of inventory out there. I think that's where most of this concern is that we did the whole, we got to step back a number of years. Remember COVID? Anyone remember COVID? By the way, it's still going around. Still going around. So there became a huge supply and demand problem. There was enormous demand. There was no supply. Everybody got wiped out. And then manufacturers started gearing back up again and making a lot of product. And distributors started gearing back up again and started stocking a lot more product. And then everything kind of came, you know, it's like when you're driving your car down the highway and all of a sudden you have to jam on the brakes and come to a stop and there's no accident up ahead because it happened like 4 hours ago. And you still get this accordion effect that ripples back, and there's a whole history on that. But anyway, similar idea. So now there's a lot of product out there, and there's not a lot of demand out there. And now we have, as of June, we have an extra tariff on anything coming in out of China, which a lot of product comes in out of China, and a lot of bikes come in out of China, and everything's gonna get jammed up a little bit more. I don't think we're out of this yet. I think it's gonna take a couple of years actually to get through the ripple effect of the, you know, accident down the road 4 hours ago. So we'll see what happens there. I'm not real sure. We're gonna move on to the last thing I wanted to talk about here today, and that is the Vuelta a España. Yeah, here we go. One more biggie every year. So the Vuelta a España kicks off coming up this Saturday, same day as the Steeplechase Bike Tour. How about that? And it's promising 3 weeks of dramatic racing, especially following Sepp Kuss's victory last year. Remember that? Remember how Sepp Kuss won the Vuelta last year? Well, there's the big question. Is Sepp Kuss going to come back? All right. Because Sepp did not ride in the Tour de France this year, and he's usually a very integral part of the domestique brigade with Visma. And he had COVID, and he was having a really hard time getting over the COVID. Mm. COVID's tough because it's a respiratory thing. And
should come see me.
If you're a cardiovascular machine, that respiratory thing can be really damaging. It can be a real problem. But yes, the American from Durango is back to defend his title. He might also face former teammate Primoz Roglic, right? Who's now with Team Red Bull and recovering after his crash in the Tour de France. So here we go. I've got a site here. They're going to break down the route and its favorites to keep an eye on it over the next 3 weeks from August 17th to September 8th. And September 8th is the day of the Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross race. So that's very interesting. Like the Tour de France, Vuelta a España starts in a neighboring country this year. The race kicks off in Portugal's capital of Lisbon with a 12-kilometer time trial, a relatively easy day considering what's to come. Typically a climb-heavy Vuelta with 9 summit finishes. We don't climb the famous Angliru, or travel through the Pyrenees, but we have seen a super hard races, hills in Covadonga and Negru. It's going to be very intense. And I had another link here on this just to see if I could pull that up. I know it's in here somewhere. So there's a lot going on with the Vuelta. Let's see, Swanee, here we go. That's that one, and I got another Vuelta site here. Here it is. So running from August 17th to September 8th, there is 1 flat stage, 5 medium mountain stages, 8 mountain stages. 5 medium and 8 mountain stages. That's a lot. 2 individual time trial stages, 5 hilly stages, 2 with high altitude finales, and 2 rest days. So it promises to be a pretty big deal as far as the race goes. They start out with the individual time trial the second day. They go directly into the hills. It's hilly the second day, hilly the third day, mountainous the fourth day, and then of course the flat, you know, sprinter's race on the fifth day. And then everything else is mountain and hilly, and it's just it's going to be very interesting. I don't know what's going on as far as, you know, Sepp goes and how fit he is. It would be nice to see him defend his title. That would be super, super cool. But, you know, it depends on what Visma has decided as far as helping him, protecting him, and making him into the GC rider. It sure would be cool if they actually, you know, did that for him. That would be really, really cool. It's not generally his role. Last year was a fluke. He went away with a long break in the beginning, and they stayed out, and all of a sudden he had time, and they changed the plan, is what they did, which was smart for them to do, but it was, they changed the plan. And Sepp ended up winning the race because the guys who he usually worked for were working for him. So, and that ended up turning into some drama, and we'll see. And then Primoz Roglic, he's a three-time winner. You know, he could be back. He's hungry for a win. He's really hungry for a win. So we'll see what happens there. So lots of good stuff coming up. That's the Vuelta. It's right around the corner. It begins this weekend. So does the Steeplechase Bike Tour. So please come to the Steeplechase Bike Tour Saturday, August 17th. In Willimantic, Connecticut, and you can go on to Bike Reg and you can find information there. Remember, we have a 40-mile gravel ride in this ride this year. Very, very cool rest stop at an ice cream stop out in Pomfret, which is very, very popular. So that's kind of a cool thing too. And then we have our standard road rides too. And I've had people say it's the nicest 62-mile ride they've ever been on. So there's just lots to offer. I know there's some new pavement on some of the roads, which is really sweet. That's kind of nice too. So check it out. Another thing on my events calendar, because that's where I'm at right now, the CCAP Rocky Hills Cyclocross Training Series, Wednesday nights, starting August 28th, September 4th, 18th, and 25th. So before we had the Project Mayhem Cyclocross Series, which will begin on Sunday, September 8th at Mansfield Hollow State Park, we also have a training series. So we can get two races in before you come to Mansfield Hollow, which is the season opener. And it's got, I think I have double points on that. I'm not even sure. It's a great race. We've been doing it for years, 41 to be exact. It's been around for 41 years. So that's pretty cool. And there are a number of other races in there, including September 14th, Haddam Neck, September 22nd, New Haven, October 6th in Newtown, October 20th in Portland, and November 17th in Wallingford, December 1st in Guilford. So we have a lot of races in the series. It's a very cool thing. Love to see you there. That will be fun. The Lime Rock Epic, which is coming up on Sunday, October 8th, is another big race coming through. This is a gravel ride and with lots to offer. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the future. Finishing points, congestion pricing. Is it a good thing? Sure seems so for bicycles. So how about the Olympics? And hey, the Vuelta, it's right around the corner. This is it. And the Olympics, you know, we had some fun with that. That was fun. We love those listener comments. So please feel free to drop them off to us. So 2024, you're gonna ride more miles, ride and commute to work or around town, better fitness, or simply enjoy the bicycle rides that you go on and stop by slowing down and stopping and smelling the roses. I'm gonna say it again, it won't be my last time. Get loud, get active, our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic and dangerous roads and the price of gas and lack of places to safely ride, and ride your bike instead. Maybe take a day and park the car or truck and just use your bicycle and see if that works. That's the Pedal and Run Challenge right there. I'll bet you will surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This, you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, or now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information, drop me an email. This is Pedal and Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Storrs, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!